Let us pray. Holy God, infinite love, intimate lover, faithful one, we come from you. We rest in you. We listen for you. Open our hearts to your presence. Open our ears to your word. Open our arms to your children. Open our future to your grace. Amen.
A reading from Genesis. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place. And he dreamed that there was a ladder set up on the earth, the top of it reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And God stood beside him and said, I am the Holy One, the God of Abraham and Sarah, your ancestors, and the God of Isaac and Rebekah. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring. And your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, surely God is in this place and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on the top of it. He called that place Bethel. The word of life. A reading from Romans. All who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, it is that very spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. If we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If, in fact, we suffer with Christ so that we may also be glorified with Christ. I consider that our present sufferings cannot be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. All of creation awaits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. Nothing in the world can fulfill its own destiny by itself. It's doomed to failure. This is not a fault. Things are made that way by God, in confidence that the whole world will be set free from its slavery to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of being God's children. So the whole creation has been groaning forever in the pain of childbirth, and we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as children, the redemption of our whole lives. This hope opens the door for us. Of course, hope that is seen is no hope at all. How can we hope for what we already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from Matthew's gospel in the 18th and 19th chapters. The disciples asked Jesus, who is greatest in the realm of heaven? And Jesus called a little child, whom Jesus set in the middle of them, and said, unless you change and become like children, you will never experience the realm of God. Whoever becomes humble as a child is the greatest in the realm of heaven. Whoever welcomes one of these little ones in my name welcomes me. Later on, children were being brought to Jesus so that he might lay his hands on them and pray. And the disciples spoke sternly to the people who brought them. But Jesus said, let the little children come to me. Don't stop them. For it is to such as these that the realm of heaven belongs. And he laid his hands on them and then went on his way. The Gospel of the Beloved, Jesus Christ. Both Jesus and the Apostle Paul invite us to think of ourselves as children of God. That can go in a thousand different directions. It's one of those fruitful metaphors that means so many different things. Being a child could mean being playful and creative and free. It could mean having permission to just be yourself. Maybe it means being full of wonder. Jesus talks about it in terms of humility, which doesn't just mean being seen and not heard. Remember, children then, as now, have no status in society. They don't have their own pack. They don't have their own lobbyists. They don't have their own million-dollar funds. Children are always the first victims of domestic abuse and government funding cuts. They're kind of the same. We pick a victim, pick a weak one. They're always the first victims of war and poverty and pollution. Maybe that's what Jesus meant, to be in solidarity with those who are powerless in our society. Well, it goes on and on and on. But when we think about being children of God, there's one thing in particular that I want to reflect on. When we visualize being children of God, my guess is we visualize ourselves as pretty grown-up children. You know, we're ACOG. We're adult children of God. We might be a child of God, but we're a pretty adult child, right? We're pretty grown up. We think we're just as big as God is. There's this photograph that I saw in Life magazine 50 years ago, maybe it was in the 60s. It was a black and white photograph of a police officer talking with a boy, little boy, on the street. And the police officer had squatted down to talk with this little boy. And so the boy squatted down. He's not thinking, oh, well, he's taller than me, so he's getting down on my level. This little boy is thinking, ah, we're squatting today. You and me, that's what we're doing. I think that's the way we think of ourselves with God. You know, it's like, oh, you are squatting, so we're squatting, as if we're somehow even. When we sing that song, he's got the whole world in his hands, I'm afraid that a lot of people have in their mind the Allstate insurance logo. A husband and a wife and a car and a house. That's not what I think of. When I think of that, I think of Maple. I've asked if Abigail would come up for a couple minutes and show you what I mean, what I visualize when I think of being a child of God. I don't think Jesus means being an adult child. I think Jesus means being an infant child of God. And when I look at this picture, there are three things that strike me right off the bat. Well, okay, four. Well, okay, 62. But I only want to talk about four. The first one is how beautiful this is. We could just sit here and look at this picture of God holding the whole world in her arms. And that could be a pretty good sermon.
Yes!
And you know what strikes me is how utterly dependent Maple is. Absolutely dependent. I think when God says that we are God's children, it's an invitation to remember every moment that we are being born by God. And Maple's just learning how to do things like talk and walk and pick up things and put them in her mouth. Things that we take for granted, she's just learning. So she's totally dependent. Maybe that's what Jesus means by being children of God. Being willing to just be held.
Yeah.
Another thing that occurs to me is that if she's just learning how to do things like stand up or sit up or be quiet, Emily's good at that. Maybe what Jesus means by being a child of God is to be willing to be a beginner, to know that we're starting over, that I am no smarter than Maple. I have to figure things out. I don't have it all figured out. I'm just here. I'm just being held. That's good. Maybe we can stop judging who are good people and bad people and realize that none of us have it all figured out. We're all still learning. We're learning what it means to be Christians. We're learning what it means to follow Jesus. We're learning what it means to be a church. And right when we think we have it figured out, that's when we need to remember that we're just beginning. And we probably have to change what we're doing because we're still learning. And the most striking thing of all, when I look at this picture of God holding the whole world, including God's children, in her arms, is how beloved we've got to be. I happen to know that Peter and Abigail are pretty seriously in love with this little girl. And I think you'd have to pry them loose with some pretty serious horses to get them to let go of this girl. There's a fire in there, and you can see it. If you've had kids, you know that. If you've had grandkids, you know that. That love is just like molten lava inside of you. Imagine that this is what God's love for us looks like. Not tolerance, but this crazy, I will never let go of you kind of love. That we don't really know. This week at Vacation Bible Camp, we had some wild animals in here. We had some sort of unusual animals. We had the usual rabbits and turtles and lizards. We had some little less usual animals in here, like ferrets and skunks. We had crocodiles. And we had an 8-foot-long boa constrictor. Was that cool or what? Everybody wanted to touch the crocodile. And we had a little baby spider monkey. The guy who brought that monkey said, you know, I rescued this spider monkey. I had to fly across the country. I had to bring it back. It was a little baby. I had to feed it every hour, all night long, 24 hours a day, for days and days and days. This little monkey has no idea how much money it cost me, how much trouble it was. Maple has no idea how much Peter and Abigail sacrifice so that she can be here in these arms right now. She has no idea that there's nothing she can do to make them love her any less. She will spit up all over them. She will poop at the wrong times. She will wake them up at the wrong times. She will cost a ton of money. She will totally interrupt their lives. And they don't mind. because they love her. There's nothing she can do. She can fuss and whine and scream. They won't love her any less. And there's nothing she needs to do for that mama to love her anymore. I mean, she can't be any cuter. But she could suddenly start speaking foreign languages and explaining nuclear physics. She could do the dishes. They would be amazed, but they wouldn't love her any more than they already do because it's already infinite. Imagine that this is what it means to be a child of God. That she's just holding you in her arms because she loves you. And you are absolutely dependent on that. Sometimes I make this gesture and I forget to explain it when I say to people, you're being held. I'll hold you in prayer in reverence to the God who holds you in her arms because she loves you. And it's okay to be utterly dependent. It's okay to just be beginning because you are being held. Thank you. You are being held. That's what it means to be a child of God. That you are God's beloved, with whom God is well pleased. The God who says, you are mine, and I love you. Meditate on that mystery for a moment. God, we are your children. You hold us in your arms. God, we thank you for your infinite love, and we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence, and to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.